Don't get hung up on doctrine. What's important is that you are part of that royal priesthood. That you're sons of God. Born again of the Spirit of God. That's the bit to get hung up on. Make sure that you are in the family of God. Because at the moment we might look in a mirror that is quite darkened. And we might have different views about different doctrines. It doesn't matter. When you get to heaven, he'll say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. I make no apology for the fact that I'm going to give a gospel message today. You might all be born again, disciples, Christians, whatever adjective you want to use to describe yourself. But there might be somebody watching online that's not. Yeah. And I just felt that I should give a gospel message. Simple, straightforward gospel. And you know, you may know everything that I say today. That doesn't matter. On the other hand, there might be something in there, even just one line, that you might think, "Oh, that's helpful." And if you're watching online, the message is about the saving grace of Jesus. And the question that we need to ask ourselves is, what are we, what are you, what am I doing with Jesus? What are we doing with him? And it is a question that you're going to have to answer and you're going to have to face, because one day you will be before him and he will either say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant, or he won't. And the consequence of not saying that are just unbelievable, beyond belief. So, a couple of weeks ago we talked about the church being neither hot nor cold, but being lukewarm. And that's a message that I want to share with you today. If you happen to have already taken the Lord as your Savior, that's lovely. But how committed are you having done that? I want you to ask yourself the same question. What are you doing with Jesus as a believer? As an unbeliever, it's a direct question that hits you right there. As a believer, it's just as important a question that you need to answer. In Matthew's Gospel, chapter 11, it says, "Come unto me, all ye who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." That's where we need to be, in the rest of Jesus. "Take my yoke," he says. Elsewhere it says, "Take up your cross." His yoke is easy. His burden is light. But sometimes the cross, well, it's got to be painful, hasn't it? By virtue of the fact that it's the cross. I am crucified with Christ. Amen. And crucifixion can be painful, is painful. So don't be surprised if you're out on the street and somebody takes the Mickey, sorry, out of you. Michael. It's the way I tell them. Because it means you're doing the right thing. It means you're doing the right thing. Satan wouldn't be bothered if you were having no effect. If you weren't using the right words, he wouldn't be bothered. He wouldn't send somebody along to challenge you, would he? Doesn't matter, but it does. You are saying the right thing in the right place to the right people. So be encouraged. Don't be discouraged. Praise God. How's your history? Are you any good at history? When I was in school, I was hopeless at history. I just could not remember all the dates. Couldn't remember them. Had to drop history. they dropped me. But I'm going to test you just to see how much, if anything, of history has stuck with you. What happened in 1066? I thought you said you didn't know any history. Battle of Hastings, 1066. Okay. What started in 1914? Places full of historians. 1605. Come on, you graduates. Yeah, King James Version, 1605. What happened in 1605? You celebrate it every year. Guy Fawkes, who said that? Bonfire Night, well done. Bonfire Night. And if you get this one, you go to the top of the class. 1851. What happened in 1851? Who said that? He's a history teacher. Great Exhibition, Crystal Palace, that's right. That was when this country was a Christian country, and it invited all the world to come and see what it was doing, to share what it was doing. As a Christian country, very different now. Very different now. Well, we believe in this book. Amen. We believe it's the inspired word of God. And is a fabulous history book. Starts in the beginning, God. That's a pretty important sentence. The beginning of time, the beginning of history, the first thing, God. And then in this history book, we can read about Abraham, we can read about Moses. We can read about Noah. We're all descended from Noah, by the way, as well as from Adam. We can read all about the disciples. We can read about many great events that happened in the early times, things that happened thousands of years ago. And you know, this history book is pretty special because not only does it tell us about history, they tell us about things yet to come. Amen. Now that's a special book that not only can tell you about things that have happened, but things that are going to happen. Yeah. Prophetic. Yeah. Prophetic words. It tells me where I'm going. Amen. I'm going to glory. Praise Amen. God. See you there, David. That's where we're going. So it's a very special and a very powerful book, able to look backwards and forwards. Can I just ask you, as an aside, do you read it regularly? Do you study it? If you've read it and studied it, do you share it? Do you let it speak to your heart? You need to get in the Word. We say it from this pulpit times many. And I would encourage you to read this book, to study it, to learn of God. It tells you how to live. It also tells you how to die, by the way. It tells you how to come to God and shows you how we can inherit eternal life. Fantastic. Those of you who've got cars will have relatively modern cars, you'll have a GPS in it, won't you? What does GPS stand for, Rob? Sat-nav, global plotting system, isn't it? It's the global plotting system. Well, we've got a better GPS here, and it's God's plan of salvation. That's the GPS that we've got. And once we have become believers, Christians, disciples, whatever word you want to use, you need to get into this daily bread. It's what will feed your heart, will feed your soul, will feed your life. You know, it's a book that influences the world significantly, even though there are thousands, millions of people that don't believe it. Just stop and think. We celebrate Christmas. We celebrate Christmas. We celebrate Easter. The world celebrates both. Do they stop and think of where those celebrations come from? This history book. Now, that's all relatively straightforward stuff. You know all that. I want to just remind you of the central theme of this history book. The Old Testament points to Jesus. The New Testament tells us about Jesus. And the most important event of all history. And that's Calvary and the resurrection 3 days later. That is the most important. Never mind about the Battle of Hastings 1066, the 1914-18 war, the Great Exhibition of 1861, or whatever else. The most important date, the most important event is Calvary and the sacrifice that Jesus made on that day for you, for me, for the world, to take our sins away, to pay the price. The bill is paid. Done and dusted, the bill is paid. The most important event of all time. I don't really care whether you agree with that or not. I know for a fact, in fact, I think all of you here know for a fact, that it was the most important event of all time. And it's the most important event that has influenced your lives and mine. Thank God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Jesus came from heaven. He gave up such a lot. He gave up that spiritual being that he was to become a man. And he's still a man. Can you imagine that you had all that deity? Although he didn't give up his Godhead, but he actually became a physical man. Still God, but a man. He had to become a man so he could die, because God can't die. And yet he lived a perfect life. And yet they crucified him. They crucified him for you, for me, for the world. What had he done? He had done nothing to deserve that death. No. Nothing at all. And yet he took on the sin of the world. He took your sins and my sins and died because of that sin. Thank God that wasn't the end of the story, was it? Because 3 days later, he rose again. Praise God. There he is. Larger than life, still alive, interceding for you and for me in glory. Death and hell and sin defeated. And he did that for you. He did that for me. It's all in here. It'll tell you. A great history book. It was the most painful, ignominious death that you can imagine. Painful. He just hung on a tree and literally bled to death. His blood was shed. All of his blood was shed for you as he hung on that tree, and for me. Thank God. And we've just remembered his death, celebrated his resurrection as we've come around the table to thank God for what he did for you and for me on that cross. How wonderful. that God would love us enough to give up that position he had as a spirit in heaven and become a man like me, but sinless. And to die and to defeat death and hell and sin, and now to live eternally in glory, just waiting for you and me.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Woo. We'll be there. Aye. Wonderful. When God made Adam and Eve, he didn't make them so that they would die. He made them perfect. When they were made, they were sinless. There was no intention, I think, although God knew because he knows everything, but nonetheless, there was no intention, because man can make his own mind up, can't he?
Yeah.
Do not eat of the tree of knowledge and good and evil. Don't eat it. And what did they do? They ate it. There's a great line in the Bible. God, Adam blaming God, you gave me this woman and she brought me the fruit. So first of all, he blamed God, then he blamed his wife. Stand up, man, be a man. He didn't refuse, did he? And they sinned, and as a consequence, death came into the world. Because of sin, the wages of sin is death. Romans 6:23. The wages of sin is death. But that verse doesn't finish there. It goes on. But the gift of God is eternal life. If you have that life, celebrate it. Have a party. Dance. He's the Lord of the dance. Sing glory to God. And if you don't yet have that life, well, you're living dangerously.
Yeah.
You are living dangerously. It's time to make your mind up. It's make your mind up time. It is. It's a serious point. Don't wait. God created a way for us to get through death, to get beyond death, to be forgiven of our sins, to have the curse of death removed, and to become and be children of God. What a wonderful thing that we are. We are children of God if we believe in him. And death is just a doorway for you and for me. A doorway, well, actually for everybody. It's a doorway into eternity. But it will either be a doorway into eternal life or into eternal death. Be assured, that's the truth of it. That's what we believe, sincerely believe and know because of our experience of God. That he died to overcome sin, death, and hell, so that we wouldn't have to go to hell, and we could be in his presence, praise his name, pleasures forevermore with him. How wonderful is that? To spend eternity with God, to spend eternity with Jesus, and dare I say, to spend eternity with the Holy Spirit. Joy unspeakable and full of glory beyond our imagination. Or you can spend eternity without God. What a terrible eternity that will be. And don't forget, once you're in that eternal death, there's no way out for all eternity, forever and ever and ever. You know, it's hard sometimes to preach about hell and the consequences of hell, but sometimes we just need to stop and think about the message that we take when we're on the street, when we're out on our motorbikes, when we're giving out Bibles, whatever we're doing, we're talking about people's eternity with God or an awful place without God. It's a simple message, really. The gift of God is free and it's eternal life, and it's available for you today if you choose Jesus. And that's the most important decision of your life. What did he say in John's Gospel? You must be born again. I believe those words because they were words that Jesus said, and we believe Jesus. It was him that said we must be born again. And you've heard me say previously, if you remember, if you're born once, you'll die twice. But if you're born twice, you'll only die once. If you're born once, so only physically, go into eternity in that state, you will die the second death for all eternity. But if you're born twice, physically and spiritually in this time, you'll only die once, unless the Lord comes. How wonderful is that? That we have that opportunity. Everyone has that opportunity if they would but accept it. And when Jesus was on the cross, the veil in the temple split in two. This has been mentioned already this afternoon. Giving us access to God through that sacrifice, through his forgiveness, if we would but accept it. We can choose now to enter into the Holy of Holies with boldness, into the presence of God as his children. Up to that time, only the priests were allowed to go in. But now, because of what Jesus did on the cross at Calvary, we too can have access to God. And I'll ask you, as believers, how often are you consciously in the presence of God? It's not a part-time experience. It's not a Sunday go to church experience. It's not a Monday afternoon experience. It's a full-time experience. And what a blessing it is to be continuously in the presence of God. In 1 Timothy 1 verse 15 it says, Jesus came into the world to save sinners. That's wonderful, because I was a sinner. My status has changed. Now I am a sinner saved by grace. To put a full stop after sinner isn't sufficient. I'm no longer a sinner, full stop. Now I am a sinner saved by grace. And focus, if you would, on the grace of God, his love. Because through his love and through what he did on the cross, you have had the opportunity presented to you to have your sins forgiven because of his grace. Taken away, forgotten, buried in the deepest sea. We sing that, don't we, David? Buried in the deepest sea. Yes, that's good enough for me. I shall live eternally. Praise God, my sins are gone. Therefore, there is no condemnation. Yes, if we sin, we have an advocate with the Father, but sinners saved by grace. If you're not saved, now is the accepted time. If you are, well, praise God for that. Rejoice and continuously and continually be in his presence. Before Jesus came to the earth, there was the old covenant. And when you read the Old Testament, I don't know how many festivals or sacrifices they had to make, or laws that they had to follow. Somebody told me it's 600 and something. I don't know what it is. 613 laws and sacrifice after sacrifice after sacrifice. One was never enough. He'd have to bring a lamb, a goat, or whatever as a sacrifice so that their sins would be forgiven. And then they'd have to do it again and again and again. And then a new covenant. And I've said many a time from this pulpit how thankful I am that we live under that new covenant, that one sacrifice has been made, not by me, by Jesus. So what do we have to do to become born again? Well, Jesus said, believe and be saved. In John's Gospel, it says it several times. It doesn't say believe, and then, by the way, you've got to do this, that, and the other. It just says believe. It says then all things will pass away, all things will become new. It says loads of other things in terms of the fact that you will change. Your focus will change. Your desires will change. Your whole life will change. But the bottom line is believe. Let's read about it. If you've got your Bibles, turn to John's Gospel, chapter 3. This chapter contains probably the most well-known verse in the Bible. Pity that all those that know it don't always believe it. But nonetheless, John chapter 3. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. Now, I think he's quite a thoughtful man, this Nicodemus. And he came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. Jesus answered him, Most assuredly, assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Born twice. Nicodemus said, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time in his mother's womb and be born? Nicodemus thinking just in human terms, not seeing beyond the physical. And Jesus answered, saying, Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water, physically, and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I say to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from or where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit, guided by God. My words there. And Nicodemus said to him, How can these things be? Jesus said, And you're a leader in the church, in the synagogue, and you don't know these things. You are a leader, you're leading the people, and you don't know these things. Most assuredly, I say to you, we speak what we know and testify what we have seen, and you do not receive our witness. They rejected Jesus. If I had told you earthly things and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? No one has ascended to heaven, but he who came down from heaven, that is the Son of Man, who is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent, you'll remember that story in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. So Jesus foretelling of the fact that he would die on the cross, be lifted up before the whole world. And whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. And then this verse, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. There's the crux of it. Those are Jesus' words. Believe and you'll have eternal life. God didn't send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but the world that through him might be saved. So when you're out on the street preaching the gospel, tell them they need to believe in Jesus. That's the crux, that's the decision, that's the point. Believing in Jesus, you're taking on a lot, aren't you? Virgin birth, God, come as man, death, the resurrection, and more and more. Now notice in verse 2 of what we've read, Nicodemus calls Jesus teacher. He hadn't quite got it right. He was starting to understand. He said, you're a teacher, come from God. But he didn't actually at that point recognize him as God. He also came by night. And I've got two understandings about why he came by night. One, so that nobody would see him, because he was a Pharisee and he didn't want all his colleagues in the synagogue to know that he was talking to Jesus. And the other is so that he didn't tell and show the Pharisees where Jesus was, because they wanted to get him and to kill him. So he came by night. And Jesus explained in simple, straightforward words, you must be born again. You must believe in me. All things will pass away. All things will become new. You will be washed in the blood of the Lamb. We can use all these different words. Bottom line is believe. And the same applies to you and I. Believe wholeheartedly, 100%, not 50%, not on Mondays and Tuesdays, but forget it on Wednesdays, every day. Believe, be immersed in that belief, totally immersed in it. You must, no option, you must be born again. I was listening to Premier Radio some months ago, and they were discussing this phrase, you must be born again. And the guy who was, they're not DJs, but you know what I mean, the presenter, he said he doesn't think that this is quite a phrase for the modern day. I tell you it is. Absolutely, you must. Jesus said this, you must be born again. How can we be born again? Nicodemus said, how can these things be? And of course, we've got the answer. Believe. Believe. Things will change if you believe. Remember that Jesus was and is God. And we believe what he said. If Jesus said it, it's good enough for me. Amen. And somebody said from this platform a couple of weeks ago, if the Bible says it more than once, you better take note. And was it you, David, who said it? I think it was Grace. Oh, it's Ken. Okay. Somebody said it anyway. Ken, well done if it was you. If the Bible says it more than once, and if you go through John's gospel, you will find that several times it repeats this believe word. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Simple, straightforward. Thank God that he made it a simple process. That commitment, that repentance, that all part of that belief. And in Corinthians then it says, therefore, if any man be in Christ Jesus, he is a new creature or creation. All things pass away, and behold, all things become new. That belief isn't the end of it. Nothing else is conditional, but things will change. I tell you, if you sincerely believe, In Jesus, things will change in your life. Oh, become a Christian, everything will be fine, you'll have no problems. You will have problems in your life. You will have difficulty in your life. You might even at times be brokenhearted. Been there. These things I have spoken to you, that you might have peace. These are Jesus' words again. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, because I have overcome the world. It doesn't say you're not going to have troubles. It doesn't say you're not going to have loss and difficulties and run out of money or whatever else you might be experiencing, but he will be with you. And even in times of the greatest trouble and the greatest loss and the greatest heartache, we have the peace of God. That peace with us. Why? Because Jesus has overcome the world. He's overcome it all. He's beaten it all. He's won the battle. The victory is ours already. You know, people think that being a Christian must be really miserable. How wrong they are. It's just the opposite. 1 Peter 1 verse 8, God gives us joy unspeakable and full of glory. John 8:36 says, who the Son sets free is free indeed. John 10:10 says, I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. That's what we have. Joy, full of glory, freedom, and abundant life. Now that doesn't necessarily mean human wealth. It might do, but it doesn't necessarily. And what I have read into that more recently in my life is abundant life means every spiritual blessing. That's what we need. Take those spiritual blessings, use them, develop them under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, under the guidance of what it says in the Word, in your life as believers. And the opportunity is there for you to have this too. If you're not yet a believer, pray that you will be. Doesn't mean you go to church on Sunday. It's a whole new way of life. And you know, the life that we have now, it's eternal already. Already eternal in the presence of God. That's what we have already. Praise his name. And in the Psalm 16, it says, eternity will be for us full of pleasures forevermore. Pleasures forevermore. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. So, I have a question for you. Why wouldn't you accept this free gift? If it's so full of majesty as I've described it, if it's such a free gift, a wonderful gift, if Jesus has paid the price, which he has, why wouldn't you accept it? It's free, it's available, it's magnificent. I can't think of the right adjectives to describe it. Why would you not? Don't believe it. Well, that's the crux of it. You've got to believe. So if you're not a believer, today is the accepted time. Amen. For those of us that are believers, what's our responsibility? As I say, you believe, and that's enough. You've got your ticket. But you need to grow. You need to move from the milk to the meat of the word. You don't need to stand still. You need to get in deeper. Ezekiel, into the deeper water, be washed away, ankle deep, knee deep, waist deep, be washed away in the Spirit of God. In James chapter 4, it says, Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Your responsibility. You have to draw near to God. It's not about salvation, that. That is about what you do. Once you are a believer, draw near to God. Your decision, your responsibility, you need to step towards God first, and he will draw near to you. Grow in your faith. As I say, get into the meat of the word and become a mature disciple for Jesus. Don't stay as an immature Christian. Develop what you know and what you understand. Get into these issues of doctrine. Don't let them colour your view, but try and understand. And it doesn't matter that we might have nuances of different understanding about detail. What matters is that you as a Christian are getting deeper and closer and love Jesus more and more and more and grow to be more like him day by day. God will not impose himself on you. You have to decide. But he is waiting for you to draw close to him. Closer than a brother, closer than the closest friend. So, my relatively brief word today is that today is the day of decision making for you. Today is the opportunity for you to start anew. Today is the opportunity for you to become a child of God. The most important decision of your life. And as a believer, today is the day that you should draw closer to God. Today is the day that you commit yourself to get to know him more, to love him more, to get deeper into the word, to take your responsibilities as a disciple, to be fed by the word. It's no good. We've read about and heard about the birthday present that you get and you never unwrap it. It's of no use until you do unwrap it. You've got to get into the word, speaking to myself as well. That's what we must do as disciples of Jesus. Get to know him better. Draw closer to him more and more and more. And when you have drawn closer to him, go again. Draw closer yet again. There are depths that are unfathomable, if I can say it, for us as Christians to dive into, beyond our understanding. We might have read the Bible from cover to cover. We might have read it several times. But there's more and more and more of God to know and understand. The depths of God are beyond our understanding. Don't be complacent about your faith. Get stuck into the Word of God. Commit yourself and me, Stephen, to drawing nearer to God day by day by day. To let him use you day by day as you go out into the world, that people will see even in your face that you have been with Jesus. Draw near to him. You know, we read, don't we, about Moses coming down, having been in the presence of God. He had to cover his face because the glory shone. How wonderful that would be if we were walking through Doncaster. The glory of God shines from our face. How wonderful. And people say, look at that bloke. Look at that woman. What's that? What have they got? And then we tell them the love of God, the grace of God, all stemming from that most important date in history. As I say, never mind what happened on all those dates. See, I can't remember them now. The most important date is that on Calvary's tree, Jesus died for you and for me. We believe, and then we grow and become more like Jesus. If anybody tells you you need to do more than believe, don't believe them. I've been in a meeting recently, as I told you, where I said there's all sorts of other conditions that you've got to comply with. No, Jesus said believe and you will have eternal life. That doesn't mean to say, though, that you won't grow. Of course you'll grow. So if you haven't had yet that important day in your life where you've turned to Jesus and decided what you will do with him, make that today. And in your own spiritual development as Christians, make it today that your commitment will be that you will seek to grow day by day, to be more like Jesus. Do it today. Amen.